This is Simply Lowai, and you're listening to The Expert with a Heart.
Hello and welcome to Simply Lowai. My name is Sheetal, and of course, you're joined by Lowai Nablaki as well. He is the Managing Director and CEO of International Money Matters Private Limited. And we also have an expert who's going to help us understand a specific area or time in life that we need to be focusing a little bit more on with respect to our finances. And I will tell you what that topic is, but let me tell you about the expert first. Sneha Jagar is here. She is Senior Vice President, Client Relationships. Thank you so much to the both of you for joining us. Now, the episode is really about navigating major life changes and focusing on financial transition planning. And if you're thrown by that last phrase that I brought in over here, I'm going to help you understand what that is. But first up, right, Sneha, explain to us what these major life events are that necessitate a financial transition plan to be put into action.
Thank you for having us here. Two important words that you just said were financial and transition. Now, financial, we all know, is something related to money. Transition is, however, a very long word, and I'll take a minute to define. Transition are period when there is change happening in life. Now, this change could be planned or unplanned. To give you some examples to be able to relate to it better is retirement. Now, this change is something which you know is coming. You would have had some age, date put in your mind that this at my age of 40, 50, whatever, I want to retire, and therefore it's a planned transition. Sometimes the transitions can be unplanned, like sudden loss of a loved one in your family. Now, this is not something we all think about, but it could just happen, accident that occurs. Sometimes the change could also be a positive sudden change that you win a lottery and you don't know what to do. You feel overwhelmed. So these are the periods where transitions take place, and all of the transition phases have something in common, which is money. You will have money-related decisions to be made during these phases, and therefore financial transitions become something which we need to talk about. You also asked me about what are the examples. Some I already spoke about, like retirement, loss of a loved one, when there is separation or divorce, when your kids leave you and go, you become an empty nester. That is a period. Most lately, we all have gone through a big transition in life, COVID. So, these are some things that I would like to say.
Right. So what I'm getting is major life events could sometimes be positive ones, like winning a lottery, in which case you're thinking immediately, what can I buy next? But sometimes it's not that simple, right? You're met with the kind of examples that you gave us some time back, Sneha. But what about emotions, right? Whenever you talk about major life events, obviously emotions that align to those life events come into play as well. And how do these impact financial well-being? Please help us understand.
So if I can sort of look at it from your point of view, if you in your life can think through all the different types of transition you've already gone through, maybe you've started work after education, then maybe you've changed jobs, then changed cities, got married, had a child. Now, each of these are also transitions. And if you think about it, when you were going through a change of job, as an example, you would have put on hold certain things because you would say, okay, let me get to the new job, then I'm going to do certain things. Whereas in terms of managing money, there are things which you need to do at that point in time. So the emotional part comes in the way when if you have many things to do and this sort of change is running through your mind, you do one of two extremes is what I have noticed. Either you say, here are these 10 or 15 things, I don't know where to start, let me just put that notebook away, I'm going to look at it later. So I do no action on any one of them. The other thought is, oh, I have 15 things to do and I'm troubled with all the change that's going on in my life. Let me quickly finish all the 15 things as quickly as possible, not as diligently as possible. So you end up again and doing some things which you might regret later. In the first case, you might be not doing some things which you will regret later. So that's what I think where the emotion comes in.
So when it comes to major life events, like, for example, retirement or, say, for example, even divorce, what's the difference in the approaches that people normally take? You know, the technical approach, and I hear there is also something called an emotional or a personal approach. Help us understand how these are different and what those differences are.
Technical is a simpler one. Markets have fallen. Let me put more money in, move more money to equity so that, you know, I can take the rise and get more returns. It could be, let's balance the asset allocation. It could be, I need to start SIPs. It could be, I need to start SWPs, systematic withdrawal plans, to be able to meet my monthly expenses because I'm in retirement. However, the personal side is where decisions are driven. Just to give you an example, since you spoke about retirement. Now, I might have just retired, and technically I need to have an asset allocation of 60% in equity. I'm just giving a vague example, and 40% into debt. And as an advisor, I would first go and say, hey, you know what, let's do this, let's do that, and this is how your portfolio would look, and technically all this falls in place. But then as a financial transitionist, I will pause and I will say, okay, what is your expectation from your retirement in the next 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year? I will tell this to the client I'm talking to, and I will also tell this separately to the spouse of the client, because the client may come and say, Sneha, I just want to, you know, have a very peaceful life. I want to go to the farms and, you know, live amongst greenery. I've had enough of corporate life. And that is what that client would come and tell me. Whereas the wife may come and say that, I have just been at home taking care of things while my husband was busy earning. I want to travel. How do I make sure that these emotions of this couple at the time of retirement are being put into my suggestion of portfolio management? That's where, as a financial transitionist, I would take the personal side of their money, bring in the technical side, and get to balance it for them. Because if they are looking to spend more now, I may not be able to do the technical best that I would have otherwise done. But since I know what they want, I would definitely want to balance this out and tell them, hey, you know what, this is possible. Let's plan this out and let's move ahead in this direction. So that's how your personal side is always driving you, much more than the technical side. And that's where a lot of advisors also feel that, why is my advice not sticking with the client? Because you're missing on understanding the personal side of the client. Once you do that, you will tend to start giving advice which will stick with them, and you will feel that, yes, they are also acting on what I am actually saying.
See, at the end of the day, I think while we do all the analysis and all the calculations about what I need to do with my money, how much I need it to grow, what corpus I need to achieve, that's all very good in terms of an Excel sheet or on paper. Ultimately, what we see is that decisions are driven by the personal side. The trigger for acting on it is something which is emotional, which is telling you, oh, today I need to talk to my advisor, or today now I need to start taking action on my investments and my portfolio. So I think the piece where we as advisors or financial planners do the plan, and we'll make a wonderful roadmap. I'll give you a great travel itinerary, but you are not acting on it. You are not booking the ticket. You are not doing whatever you need to do to put that, travel plan in motion. So it remains a nice, you know, rosy document, which is just gathering dust.
All right, this is my favorite part of the episode, because Adrini is going to break things down for people into steps to be taken with respect to a financial transition. So if the both of you can explain to us what the different steps are, I think that will be really useful to our viewers.
I think at the end of the day, the important piece is that the certified financial transitionist is trained to handle these situations. So the first step is not looking at the money piece. It could be, But otherwise is trying to understand and guide you through a process where you are sort of calmer. In some ways, if there is a willingness and a method that we can follow of taking you as the client who's going through this transition to the balcony and look at the situation from a zoomed out sort of way, then the emotion of that moment is sort of reduced. So we are trained to use certain techniques and tools to understand you better, and therefore be able to guide you through this tough part. While I say this, I recognize the fact that while there could be things that we learn as a tool to apply, each situation requires it to be done a little differently. So I think the important piece for a financial transitionist is this whole understanding and having an empathy first. Yes, I have the knowledge of finance, but I have empathy, I have the patience, I have the ability to listen and allow you to vent your emotions, because I think that's the first step for you to get calmer. And that, I think, is a very important piece.
So there are two things that I typically tell anybody I know going through transitions. One is pause. You don't have to make any decision today. So please just pause. Don't jump the gun. Don't make any decision that you may regret later. There are no decisions that are absolutely need to be done today. It can be done a week later, 10 days later, 2 months later. But right now, no, just pause. The second thing I tell is take a check on your emotions. Do you think you are in hold of yourself to be able to then make the decisions that are needed? If not, then know that there are transition specialists available to help you, guide you. And like Lobai mentioned, they are trained, they have a lot of protocols to follow. And just knowing that there is somebody who can take you through the transition from where you were to where you will be is a big relief. So, you know, two checkpoints would be these: that pause and know that there is somebody who can help you.
So one of the things the CFT program taught me, as opposed to what my MBA program taught me, was that in MBA, we are told that any decision is a good decision. Take a decision. Whereas in CFT, there is actually a protocol called a decision-free zone, which says that it's okay to have a space for you where you don't take a decision. I mean, the step could be that there may be some things that you need to take now. So again, you can break down the situations you're facing into what needs to be done now, what needs to be done sooner, what needs to be done later. So that once that is segregated, you don't worry about those 15 things that you have to take care of. You know, these are the only two things I have to worry about now. Once they're done, then I will reopen the book and look at the remaining 13.
I like the sound of that particular phrase, decision-free zone, right? Sounds interesting. But there's another phrase that really came up in the course of the conversation, and that also is something that I'm sure our viewers are going to be curious to find out more about. A certified financial transitionist. I didn't even know before the start of this podcast that there is such an expert available to help you navigate these personal and financial transitions that are going on in life sometimes. So to tell us about how a CEFT can really help us navigate these kind of changes.
So I think it depends on the situation. And like I said, the first step is just listening. And it's going deeper into understanding why you're thinking what you're thinking. Or if you have a blank sort of mind, why do you have a blank mind at this point in time? So apart from decision-free zones, there are various other protocols that we do follow. If you were trying to understand deeper as to why you're doing something, there is a purpose, method, outcome protocol that we follow. If somebody is going through major life change, you know, lost a loved one, so I need to now take a whole bunch of actions. Sometimes many of the things which you are imagining have changed have actually not changed. So again, we would run some protocols to segregate out and say, okay, only these are the things that have changed and you need to think about, whereas all of this is constant. Right? If there was money in the bank or in investments, that is still there. That's not gone away with that person. Just that you may not be the person equipped very well to deal with it. Maybe your loved one, the one who's left you, is the one who was taking all the decisions. So yes, you may need to pick up, learn, some of the things in the ability, in improving your ability to take those decisions in future. So there are various protocols, but I think the big protocol is just ensuring that we handhold and keep you in a safe place, and we do listening. And I think that listening is a very, very important piece. Very often, we have seen clients turn around and said, wow, you're the only person I have told all of these things to, and I'm so glad you listened. Because there are long, pregnant pauses in the conversations when someone is going through a tough time. And again, we are trained to allow for those silence. We don't want to hear our own voice all the time.
So, Luwai and Sneha, what I understand is the end goal very often is financial, long-term financial security, right? And also financial well-being. Not just financial well-being, also general well-being, because financial well-being does impact that one. So help us understand the role of, a financial transition planner or planning in helping achieve these two end goals that I just spoke about.
Transition take time. They don't occur or happen overnight. If you are into a situation where you have to deal with change, you may take anything between 1 to 2 years to about 7 to 8 years to have a new identity for yourself. You may have changed because of this transition that's happening in your life, but to get to a new normal can take very, very long. And during that period, if you have someone who can actually tell you that you're doing fine, you have moved ahead, and these are the next steps you should focus on, always is very, very comforting. One important thing to know is that there are 4 stages to transition, not all happening one after the other by default for everyone. We will talk more about this in our future episodes, but if you have somebody who can tell you that this is your stage of transition and this is how we can move to the next stage and the next stage, and therefore have a new identity for yourself post this change that's occurring in your life, is very, very, very comforting. That is where a financial transitionist comes into play. Is not just your guide, is not just your financial guide, is not just your to-do sort of a checklist partner, is more of a co-creator who helps you create your next steps and lead you to a new life going forward.
So while there may be some transitions which you cannot plan for, I think what happens is when the situation occurs, that's when you want to now plan what do I need to do? Is there something that I need to change in the way I do things, or can I just continue the way I am? And whenever you face these major life situations, I think the first thought each one of us will have is that why has this happened to me, or this has happened only to me? The advantage of dealing with a financial transitionist is that financial transitionist has probably helped other people who have gone through somewhat of similar situations. Like I keep saying, I think each situation is unique by itself. But that similar situation allows them to give you confidence that, you are not alone. This has not only happened to you. While the severity of it is definitely more than what I can say for somebody else, because this is what has happened to you. The fact that, there are people available who can help guide through situations like this is comforting. And that is probably the first step I would think that a financial transitionist sort of helps in.
Well, I think we've got you off to a good start with an understanding of financial transition planning in that whole area. The fact that there are certified financial transitionists who can help you navigate both the personal and financial, steps or other things that you need to do to navigate these kind of phases in your life. And I certainly do hope that you have only the positive ones that come into your life. Like I said, winning that lottery, for example. But we all know that life is not quite that simple. But thank you so much, Lovai and Sneha, for joining us on Simply Lovai. We'll be back with another episode that you should listen to along with this one, because it talks about a specific example of someone who is a bereaved spouse. And we're going to walk you through the typical needs of that person from the perspective of financial transition planning. Make sure you're locked on to the next episode.
That was an episode of the Simply Lovai podcast series, Expert with a Heart.